The reason I want you to clap your hands over giving to the Lord is because I think it's really, really important that you understand giving is all attitude. Because again, you don't have to give. I mean, God's not trying to get your money, actually. He's just trying to get it to you. But as you know, he cannot get finances to you unless he can get it through you. And so everything is attitude. And I was looking in Matthew chapter 16, and I begin to read verse 26, and Jesus is talking. He says, "For what is it a man profits if he shall gain the whole world but yet lose his soul?" The Amplified, I like what it says there, because it says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forgets or forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God?" Now, we're not giving so that we can just be wealthy and never be a blessing to anybody. No, we're actually giving to, number one, be a blessing to someone. And then it doesn't stop there, because once you start learning the principles of sowing and reaping, then you'll start learning that God wants you out of debt. He wants you to owe no man but to love him. But it's all in attitude. And I realize that ministers maybe on television that don't have enough time to really sit down and teach or explain or whatever, people are left with, you know, a prosperity message that maybe turns them off. But I'm here to tell you, God is interested in you prospering. He wants you to be the head, not the tail, financially. He wants you to be above and not beneath. But it's all attitude. What really profits you if you gain the whole world but yet lose your soul? So the key is this morning, when you're giving, and by the way, for visitors, I do not take a salary at this church. I never have in 13 years of this church. If people want to give to our ministry, praise God. Thank you. That's how we believe. We're trusting God. But see, that's what I want you to do. I want you to trust him. That job that you have, that business that you own, is not your provider. God is your provider. And when we start having that attitude, then he can bring it into our lives, so that when we come across someone that's in need, we'll be able to say, "Hey, I just want to be a blessing to you. You don't have to pay me back. Just here's a blessing." You know, see, that's called having a great attitude in the kingdom of God towards giving. And what it does is then it causes people that's been raised like my family, that the preacher was scared to say anything about tithing, anything about offerings, alms, first fruits, you know, the four really ways that the Bible talks about giving. It causes you then to understand that, man, that's a principle that God wants you to get into, so that you can get out of debt, so that you can be a blessing to someone that just is in need, so that you can begin to edify and build them up. Because I'm here to tell you, look at me, everybody. I'm telling you right now, it's better to be rich than poor. It's just better. I'm telling you, I've been both. And Paul, no good. Because there comes stress. There comes worry. There comes things that you do not want in your life. But man, when you start doing it this way, this Bible way, then you'll be a blessing to people. So let's change our attitudes about giving. And when you give to God, that's called a seed sown. And expect that harvest. Amen? So come give in that bucket and these buckets in Jesus' name. Now, if you're a visitor and you have that little packet, if you hadn't already, reach in that little packet, that visitor packet, and fill out that card. There's a pen in there as well. And then sometime, if you can do it now, send it down here. Gives us a record that you came. Sweet little Doris calls you, welcomes you to our church, and it's an honor to have you. It's also an honor to have Carrie Hedrick come and give us a special. So would y'all welcome Carrie, please?
Thank y'all. You know, when you go around doing music like I do, sometimes it's difficult to find just that right song. And I searched and I searched and I searched for a good Mother's Day song. And there's just not many of them out there. But what I found is an adaptation of a Rudyard Kipling poem from 1922. I first heard it from a group called the Gibson Brothers. They're a bluegrass group. It's kind of hard to play bluegrass by yourself, so I'll do the best I can. The title of this is I Know Whose Tears, or otherwise it's also known as Mother, My First Companion. If I were hanged on the highest hill, if I were hanged on the highest hill, if I were hanged on the highest hill, I know whose love will soothe me still. If I were slain in a foreign land, if I were slain in a foreign land, if I were slain in a foreign land, I know whose touch will take my hand. Mother, my first companion, mother, my truest friend, mother, way up in heaven we'll meet again. If I were killed in the battle strife, if I were killed in the battle strife, if I were killed in the battle strife, I know whose cries would mourn my life. If I were drowned in the salty sea, if I were drowned in the salty sea, if I were drowned in the salty sea, I know whose tears would come down to me. Mother, my first companion, mother, my truest friend, mother, way up in heaven we'll meet again. If I were dead in the cause of right, if I were dead in the cause of right, if I were dead in the cause of right, I know whose lamp would be my light. If I were damned both body and soul, if I were damned both body and soul, if I were damned both body and soul, I know whose prayers, sweet prayers, would make me whole. Mother, my first companion, mother, my truest friend, mother, way up in heaven we'll meet again. Mother, my first companion, mother, my truest friend, mother, way up in heaven we'll, mother, my first companion, mother, my truest friend, mother, way up in heaven we'll meet again. Happy Mother's Day, moms.
Thank you, Kerry. Appreciate it, brother. Amen. With a big round of applause, hang on. Our youth group is going to stay in because it's the second Tuesday. They stay in, be a part of this service, but it's an honor with a big round of applause. Ready? To dismiss our kids' church out the back. Amen. Thank you, Kerry. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Thank you, man. Honored to have you sing. Amen. Look at all those kids go, y'all. What'd y'all do here? Fruitful and multiply, man. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say happy Mother's Day. Doris gave me a little poem, and I want to dedicate this to mothers. And obviously this poem probably is not just about mothers because it's about a warrior. But listen to this. This morning, my thoughts traveled along to a place in my life where days have since gone. Beholding an image of what I used to be, as visions were stirred and God spoke to me. He showered me and showed me as a warrior, a soldier in place, and petitioned by heaven, yet I saw no face. I watched as the warrior fought enemy that came from the darkness with destruction for me. I saw as the warrior would dry away tears as all of heaven's angels hovered so near. I saw many wounds on the warrior's face, yet weapons of warfare were firmly in place. I felt my heart weeping and my eyes held so much as God let me feed the warrior's prayers touch. I thought, how familiar the words that were prayed. The prayers were lightning like never would fade. I said to God, please tell me the warrior's name. He gave no reply. He chose to refrain. I asked the Lord, who is broken, that they need such prayers. He showed me an image of myself standing there, bound by confusion, lashed, and alone. I felt the prayer of the warrior carry me home. I asked, please show me, Lord, this warrior so true. I watched and I wept as the Lord said, it's you. So I say, mamas, thanks for being our warrior, for our support, for whooping our tails, for being the women of God that God has called you to be. And I pray then that us men would be the men that God has called us then to be, in Jesus' mighty name. Happy Mama's Day. Amen. How many brought your Bible this morning? Let me see all the Bibles. Just raise them up. Again, this is kind of where I need to see where to preach to. All the phones. How funny. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians. Just go to that first chapter. As you guys know, and for you guys in the back, if you'll write this down, I want you to entitle this message, This is Your Image. This is your image. I believe the devil tries to ruin the image of people in different ways. A lot of times it's in the mind, how he tries to destroy all of us to not know who we are in Christ Jesus. And a lot of it is just because a lot of people have a self-esteem problem. And I want to deal with that today. Because if the enemy could tear you down, that's where he tears you down, self-esteem. Because if you don't have the confidence in yourself, then when the enemy attacks, a lot of times you don't know what to do, or you start second-guessing yourself. And I begin to think about the signs of self-esteem, and I came up with a few that I want you to write down if you want to, but these will help you really figure out if you're dealing with some of these things that then could cause you not to see the victory that God wants you to see. You see, God wants you to be the victor and not the victim. He wants you to be, as we always talk about, the head and not the tail. He wants you to be above and not beneath. The thing, though, is if you allow the devil to tell you who you are, then you'll be convinced of his way. But yet, God's way is a whole lot better than our way. Say amen to that. And we need to understand that when the world tries to tell us who we are instead of God, then that's not the place that we need to be in. We need to know that God's for us and not against us. And therefore, he gave us the word of God. Now, anybody in sports understands confidence. Because, man, if you lose confidence in any kind of sport, you're in trouble. I think if anybody plays golf, you've been watching a golf tournament, that there's a guy that's 19, minus 19, and the next closest guy to him is about 7 or 8 strokes. Now, it's going to take some confidence for him today when he tees off at 245 or whatever to maintain what he started out to do. For 3 rounds, he's been on top. But there's some people behind him. Not too far down, about 10 strokes, is kind of a guy no one really knows named Tiger Woods. He shot the lowest round yesterday at 65. So I can probably understand that the guy on top could possibly have some confidence issues. I mean, here they come. What's going to happen? In rodeo, oh man, you deal with it constantly because, number one, you're traveling and you're give out tired from the travel. And then you've got to go compete. You might have been up all night traveling to that next rodeo. And it's real easy when things don't go right or your horse isn't, you know, feeling good. Maybe he's not responding to you. Maybe your body is so give out that you just don't feel like getting on another bull. Maybe in sports, you've pitched. Right, Red? And you just give out. You're having to dig deep down. And what if you're winning 2-0 and someone pops a homer on you and it's 2-1? Uh-oh. That confidence, man. What about a marriage? A marriage that was so successful one day and then trouble comes. How about health? When the doctor says, hey, you know, sorry, brother, but this is what's happening in your body. What are you going to do? Are you going to lose confidence and faith? The God that says by his stripes you're healed? Or are you going to submit to the report of a man or a woman as being the authority, you see? You see, self-esteem, man, can mess up a lot of things in the kingdom of God because, man, if you're not ready for the attack that is going to happen, I'm not a preacher that thinks that we're constantly never going to see the attack, but I am a preacher that says that God's given us a way of escaping those attacks through Jesus Christ. Amen. But I want to talk about self-esteem and what are the signs of it. Well, the first one I found out is indecisive. People that literally are indecisive, or in other words, they're sitting on the fence. And I don't know about you, but sitting on a fence doesn't feel good, especially if it's barbed wire. But yet, for some reason, I got to be honest with you, I don't understand it. I don't understand how a minister of the gospel can have one foot in the world system. Well, I don't think it's wrong to drink. And then one foot into, you know, discerning the Spirit of God when he's preaching. The justification, man, that we get in as Christians of, you know, just, you know, I drink quite a bit. I try to control it. And I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about people that I come in contact with that sitting on the fence. Man, I'm telling you, they indecisiveness. They're constantly thinking of things like, what if this happens? I mean, they can be believing God for things, and then before you know it, in their mind of, but what if? What if I actually step out in faith and this actually happens? Those kind of people really can't commit, you see. And therefore, there's a self-esteem problem. The second thing that I've noticed that is a sign of a self-esteem problem, and usually these things are inside, is negative self-talk. I'm here to tell you, you will never hear me as your pastor ever talk bad about me. You want me to say that again? You will never, ever, as your pastor, hear me talk bad about me. And I mean that. Because too many people talk bad about themselves. It's a sign of self-esteem problems. You know, I'm just not good enough. I don't feel pretty today. I deal with that because I have girls in my house. And I'm like, you don't need makeup, girl. You are beautiful. Oh, there's times when I've said, no, you need makeup. Let me move on. I could have stayed right there. No, that is not wisdom. What do you think about yourself, though? Man, that's what gets a lot of people. Just that looking in the mirror, that appearance. And then, you know, you ever heard anybody go, well, it's just my luck. I was born on the wrong side of the track. Wrong side. I remember a guy saying, come to me, and he said, you know, I've always felt like I was born a little bit too late. I'm just barely behind. Remember that? I'll never forget that. Well, that's again a sign of self-esteem problems. Here's the third thing that I want to deal with before we get into the Ephesians to find out who we are in Christ Jesus. The third thing I saw as a sign of a self-esteem problem is the fear of rejection. I mean, just dating somebody and being afraid to really commit because, you know, there could be that rejection in your life. I mean, not having courage, not stepping out, you know, speaking in front of people. Just that fear of rejection. I just can't stand up in front of a crowd. No, there's a sign of a self-esteem problem. Because, man, when you got the confidence of God Almighty that lives on the inside of you, there should be no problem standing up here. Now, I'm not talking about you not having, some want to learn stage presence. We talked about that with some other ministers. I deal with a lot of ministers. And, you know, stage presence is really important to me. Very seldom will you see me turn my back to you. I've been trained. A lot of times you'll see me almost just backing up, you know. Or if I turn, it's going to be quick, you know. It's hard not to turn your back when you have this big of a crowd and there's all the way around you. But, you know, or if you watch, let's say, American Idol. I mean, they're constantly on those contestants about taking off that microphone and still singing with that microphone stand right in front of them. No, so they'll get on to you, no, move that thing, see. I'm not talking about not having stage presence, but man, when you have a fear of rejection that you can't even stand up in front of a crowd and tell them how much Jesus has impacted your life, you see, those things are something that we probably need to work on. Because they can defeat you in some other areas of your life, you see. The fourth thing that I see as a sign of a self-esteem problem and the enemy really attacking you in these areas to stop you from having victory in your life is people who want more. Material type people. They're constantly looking for outside things to make them feel good. Self-esteem problem, possibly. Those kind of people, you know, if you understand really a wealthy person, Man, really, they're not needy. But then on the other hand, you can look at people and, man, they're just constantly needy. I need to go buy a new dress to make me feel better. And sometimes it does. Except when you look at how much it cost. Me and Seth went to the leather store yesterday, and he said, Dad, I've investigated. We need to go to the leather store in Round Rock, and I know exactly what I need leather-wise to build some chinks or shaps, you know, that he wants to take to the ranch and up north to work some cattle with her family. I said, okay, and you're going to build these shaps? He said, yes, sir. I know. He said, Dad, I've already called, and I know what everything costs. I said, okay, well, how much does the leather cost? He said, well, I really need about a roll. And I said, what's that going to cost? He said, about $40. I said, that's okay. He said, I'm going to need some buttons, sir. I said, it's not going to be very much. I'm going to need a mallet. I'm going to need some things to decorate, you know, to decorate the sides on down. I need a buckle. I'm going to need a few things. I need some real sharp scissors or something to cut that leather. So I said, that's good. You've got this plan, huh? I said, well, how much you think it's going to cost? He said, I probably think $60, $70, $80 at the top. So me and him go to the leather store yesterday. And when I showed him the receipt of $200 to $300 after we bought everything, I said, you didn't know how much that was going to cost, did you? He said, well, I don't know what happened, Dad, because the roll was only supposed to cost, you know, $40. I said, well, you picked the wrong roll. It was $150. But is he just doing that to just make himself feel good? Nah, not as a kid, man. He just has his heart. But there are a lot of people that, man, they're just needy. I mean, they can't get content with what they have. And I'm not talking about you, that you don't have some wants, but I'm here to tell you about needs. God says, I'll meet your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when you start understanding that, then you're not all upset when you don't get that new horse. Or you have to have a little bit of patience, you see, to believe God for things. The fifth thing that I want to show you that is a sign of a self-esteem problem is the need for a person to express your accomplishments. Or in other words, you need people to constantly build you up. I've been around people like that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I believe that you really need to edify and build up. I think there's enough tearing down today, don't you? That we need to build people up. But do you always have to be built up? I mean, are you the one that's constantly, you know, needing to hear that affirmation of the good things that you're doing? If you are, it's just a sign of self-esteem that could be blocking what God really wants to do in your life. And then, you know, finally, this last thing, sixth sign of a self-esteem problem before we really get into the Word of God to find out who we are in Christ Jesus, is that you value others' opinions more than your own. I mean, you're so wishy-washy because, and I see that even in roping, going down the road professionally roping. Oh, man. At the very start of learning this new event called steer roping, I've been a team roper with a partner for all my life, for long as I can remember, or calf roping. I understood, you know, but having an, you know, being in part into a new event, let's say, I've had to learn everything new because I'd never really done this event that was the very first event in rodeo. The event where out in the pasture you would have to trip down a cow in order to doctor it because there was no pins. Well, they made an event out of it just like they did bull riding or saddle bronc or calf roping or whatever. And at the very beginning of trying to learn this event, man, all these people would come and give me their opinion and their expertise. And I'm talking the best in the world. And man, I listened. I always want to be teachable. I don't want to ever feel like I know it all. Not even in the Word of God. I don't like those people that feel like they know everything. How about you? No, I'm still learning and I still want to be teachable. And here's a guy coming. And so I've gotten to the point where I can win. And I work hard at it. I ride 3 horses a day at home. I have worked on every aspect of this one event that is, you know, kind of like, you know, studying the Word of God. I really take it serious when I'm studying this Word to make sure I understand why did God inspire the Apostle Paul in Ephesians to write what he wrote down. I want to learn, what does the Greek say or the Hebrew? Or I want to know the history behind why was they at that time speaking these kind of things to the Ephesians people, you know. You see, the world, I believe, is having a bigger influence on you than you are having on the world. And it's all because of a self-esteem problem. And we just need to deal with that today. Because a self-esteem problem will cause you not to do what God has called you to do. And I'm telling you, if you want, as that song talks about, to be in the perfect will of God, then we've got to start knowing who we are in Christ Jesus. Now, everybody in here, if you're born again and saved, you have accepted Jesus as Lord. Romans 10 and 9, you've confessed Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved, right? If that's you, then you have to know who you are in Christ. Because just all these signs of a self-esteem problem, the enemy is constantly causing people not to see victory in their lives when you need to see victory. You are the head and not the tail. You are someone that is worthy in Christ Jesus, not away from him, because the Bible says we're nothing outside of Christ Jesus, but thank God we are something in Christ Jesus. And so through the Word of God, we've got to start finding out who are we in Christ Jesus, so that when that devil tries to attack you at your age or at my age or at anybody's age, we'll know exactly what to do and what authority we have as a believer in Jesus Christ. Now wake up, y'all. Hit your neighbor and say, wake up. This is fixing to get good. Go on, just elbow him. Scoot across and elbow her very gently. Scared. Do you have fear, brother? Or is it wisdom? Yeah. Oh. Hey, you're honest, brother. I said, you got fear? He goes, a little bit. And man, I understand that, you see. But I want you to know that this much of fear causes you to have no faith. Because fear is the opposite of faith, you see. All right? So let's find out who we are in Christ Jesus. Because in order to see who you are in Christ Jesus and to have that self-image, we got to find it in the Word of God. Say amen if you agree. I want you to read with me in Ephesians chapter 1. And let's just begin reading in verse 4. Obviously, you know, the Apostle Paul in the first few verses is, you know, man, he's just speaking to this bunch, grace and peace be with you and those kind of things from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. But look, let's just begin to start in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, when you're reading the Bible, man, read it slow sometimes. Because that said a lot right there, right? Because he's talking about you and me. He's talking about us. And so let's read it again. According as God, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let's read on. having predestined us, say us, say me, having predestined us, or me, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Man, this is good, y'all. In him who we have redemption through his blood. Now, I don't have to go through the crucifixion, right? I don't have to help you understand again why we do communion and remember what the broken body did for us, what the blood of Jesus did for us, do I? I mean, I think as you get in another part of Ephesians that we be no more children tossed to and fro, that we actually begin to grow up in Christ Jesus. In other words, it's time, y'all, that we stop just coming on Sunday and hearing about this great, wonderful God, and we start living this stuff and knowing who we are every day, every hour, so that we can have the victory that God wants us to have. It's all right here, y'all. Check it out. This is you in Christ Jesus. It's not the devil telling you that you did some bad things in college or you did some bad things yesterday. No, it's God saying, this is who you really are. This is the self-image that you need to have in your life. This is who you are in Christ Jesus, and walk in that way. Okay? Let's keep getting this on the inside of us. We have redemption, verse 7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, that covered everything right there. Clap. Do something. Come on. What Jesus did in his shedding blood, we have been covered by that blood that covers a multitude of sin. I mean, that'd make an Episcopalian shout right there. Any Episcopalians, if you want to shout, you have permission. Amen. Listen, y'all, we've got to understand that the enemy wants to keep us down because of sin, and Jesus died so that we can have forgiveness of that sin. Now, that's not to continue in that sin. It's to repent and move on. But thank God that sin cannot hold you down. Oh, man, if you go to Romans, man, woo, Jesus. If you go to the 5th chapter, verse 1, it says that we are freely justified by faith. That word justified means that you and I are acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. I don't care what someone has done in their past. You are not moved by what happens in your past. You are moved by the Word of God. And the Word of God says that you are predestined, praise God, that you have redemption through His blood. You have forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Thank God He's grace. Thank God we don't live under the law any longer. Thank God that by the grace of God, we freely get to or want to serve Him. We don't have to. There's not a law now that says you have to, you know, serve God. No, no. You don't have to any longer. You get to. You want to, praise God. If you understood what Jesus did for you, you would never want to sin. But see, we've never really learned who we are in Christ Jesus. We figure we mess up one time, oh God, there's penalty. Instead of understanding, no, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. Stop doing the bad things that you're doing and find out who you are in Christ Jesus, because it's a whole lot better to live in the peace of God than the agony of defeat. Okay, let's move on. Come on. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Thank God in James it says if you lack wisdom, he'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. In other words, that just means that there's a time when you just have to ask God, what is the wisdom, what is the will of you in my life? What do you want me to do? And then sit there and listen to that still small voice of God. And man, he'll begin eventually if you'll listen. But now, I'm not talking just 5 minutes. There's a time when you got to sit there and listen until you can hear that still, small voice of God speak to you and tell you, let me tell you what to do. And then you When you discern that and understand that, oh, Jesus, that's the will of God in your life. He can give you those mysteries of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom, verse 11, also we have attained, listen to this, an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye've also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, when God says something about you, it is sealed. It is yes and amen. When he calls you the head and not the tail, you've got to believe that. I am the head and not the tail. When he calls you a king's kid, you've got to believe that. I serve the king, but thank God I reign as a king in this life, in Christ Jesus. When he says that you're an heir of God, you've got to believe that, praise God. I'm an heir of the promises of God that are yes and amen. When he says you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that's why you were healed of cancer in Jesus' name. That's why it couldn't kill you when the devil wanted to put you under the ground. Yeah, you would go to heaven, but you wouldn't inherit the kingdom that God wants you to inherit on this earth, like the peace of God, like living in harmony and the joy of the Lord and so on. No, he wants you to hurt all the time. He wants you to have fears that will destroy you. But man, when you know and have the authority of Jesus Christ, yes, man, all you got to say is, I don't accept that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for that one clap. I'll take it. No, you don't have to clap them. I don't care. I'm just saying, look, it's time we elevate and start thinking like God thinks. And there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, you know, you're not worthy, brother. Man, we have allowed religion to push us down way too long. You know, I'm just a lowly old worm. Thank God I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. You're made in the image of God Almighty. The problem is you don't know and have that self-image that God wants you to have. You see? Right? I ain't turning my back to y'all. Now I'm just thinking about it. Listen. Check this out. Where did I end? I'm on 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance, thank you, Lord, gosh, till the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, man, it's just saying, man, your heart is right, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding, this is you. He's wanting your eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You see, he's not just talking about Jesus here. He's talking about you, how you've been raised up. Check this out. Far above all principality, all power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. Now, the Bible says that we're supposed to imitate Jesus, right? So this is talking about you and I. Because of what Jesus did, he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, I mean, it can just get better and better and better. And it was all because of Jesus' death. Now think about that. He was crucified, and we have Jesus living on the inside of us. And then he ascended up to be seated at the right hand of the Father, which then declares what? That everything, and all things are now under him, you see. If they're under him, then in our self-image of who we are in Christ Jesus, everything's under us, including the enemy who is under our feet. But yet, a lot of times we allow him to get above us. So when someone says that you're going to die, or there's an attack in your life, you don't have to receive that as the gospel. You need to understand that really it needs to be under your feet because of the authority that we walk in Christ Jesus, you see. All right, if you want further proof, let's flip over to Philippians real fast. Go to your right, just a book over. And let's look at chapter 2. Oh, Jesus, it's 11:51. I got to hurry. Here we go, Jesus. Look at it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And now this is the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. And given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, and this is the authority that you have to walk in, that at the name of Jesus, right, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise God. In other words, nothing in this universe is more highly exalted than Jesus Christ. His throne rules above all, y'all. Above all human authorities, he rules. Above all military authorities, above all spiritual authorities, there is simply no one else who rules higher or more majestically than Jesus Christ. And that's what this is talking about. That because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you, he's given him a name that's above every name. Well, you have that authority to use the name of Jesus. Hang on, one more thing. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 real fast. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, this is where it really helps us get that self-image of who we are in Christ Jesus and know who we are and what we're called to be. In verse 6, who hath raised us, say us, say me, up together and made us, say us, now say me, sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we are raised up with him and the devil is under our feet. That has to be your self-image. When you're under attack, and it doesn't matter what it is, your mind, you know, the battle's in the mind, right? Because the enemy's going to constantly come to your mind, oh, come on, you're not worthy, you don't know enough Bible, you hadn't prayed long enough, and he'll just keep the list going, right? But when you stand up and declare, no, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me, he is the Lord of my life, and I have his name, I have the authority to use his name, I have been seated with him in heavenly places, praise God. And devil, you're not going to control me any longer. You're under my feet where you need to be in Jesus' name, so get there. Amen. And what's wrong with having a little bit of attitude like some of you mamas have? Right? You know, like, what? You know that look that mamas give? What'd you say to me? And you know a mama, they can be driving, and you can be at the back of the extended cab pickup like 16 foot back and they can still slap you. You know what I'm saying? Is anybody there but me? I mean, what's wrong with having that mama attitude and that daddy attitude of, what'd you say, devil? What? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what's wrong with having that? Straighten yourself. And I'll tell you something else I never understood. I've said this before. I never understood why my mama. Mama, if you're watching, you're a long ways away, so. I do this out of love, mama. But why in the world would she pinch me under the arm to make me be quiet? And I always just, you know, that who I am, I just wanted one time, John, just to scream it, ah! And scare, and I mean, demons will come out of the deacons if you do that. And then you'll die when you get home. But I always would tell my mama, just raise me from the dead. I got a lot of stuff going on. I need to keep going. But man, when you get that attitude. You know, some of y'all have it, you know, in the authority of your job. No, you're gonna go manicure that grass, and you're gonna do it this way, and you're gonna use that machine. You hear what I'm saying? That's Trevor. Because he runs the country club in Georgetown. And it's what I need you to go do, okay? And I need you to get done within an hour because we've got some special people coming in. And so let's get it done. Well, see, we don't use that authority a lot of times with the devil. My mama, I'll never forget this. She goes, Corey, when it's hanging, okay, these are my ears. She said, when you talk to the devil, don't talk out loud. I said, why, mama? She goes, because he might hear you. I'll never forget that. I was a little kid, too. But now she's finally found out who really she is in Christ Jesus before she went to heaven. But see, that's the mentality of a lot of people, is they're more afraid of the devil than the devil's afraid of them. All of it is self-image. So the question this morning is, as we close, what's your self-image? Are you indecisive? Now, when you commit to something, commit to it. And you heard me last time give that example of just a good old handshake. When I shake someone's hand, I mean it. I'm not going to go back on it. I have had opportunities when I have committed to a small church service where I know there's going to be 30 people at. And I've had people walk up and say, hey, there's going to be 10,000 people and we want you to minister to them. And it's on the same exact day. Integrity and my bond is, and my word is, sorry, I apologize, I can't do that because I am committed right here. You see, that's having a self-image of who I am in Christ Jesus, that I have integrity. That I'm a man of my word. Now, I might blow it at times, and I don't mean to, but I want to be known as, this is who I am. I am not indecisive. You don't have to pat me on the back. I understand. It feels good when you guys call or write and tell me that, you know, the message was just for you and it was fantastic and how cute you are and those things. That, I mean, I am. I'm kidding. She said, you are cute. Thank you, ma'am. She said, yes, ma'am. Give you some money for that. I love you too. You're a blessing to God. I mean it.
You are. You're
the best. Blessing of God. You did good.
You know? They did good.
Did this thing go off? What's wrong? What, you don't want them hearing or something? Or? I just want your self-image to be who God's called you to be. Amen. that you're beautiful. You are someone in Christ Jesus. Man, you don't have to let the devil tell you you're no good any longer. No, you're someone. You're someone. You are God's favorite. His favorite. I know Trevor thinks he is, but no, you are. But really, Trevor is too, you see. When you find out who you are in Christ, heaven, not sky, heaven is the limit. Man, he can take you to places. He can cause deliverance to come that you couldn't imagine. All by having the self-image that God wants you to have. You're a blessing of God. Man. An heir of his promise. Man, to be able to stand before all your peers and proclaim, no, I'm going to do the right thing. Jesus, he's my Lord. As a young kid. It's all self-image, man. Who are you in Christ Jesus? Well, I pray in Jesus' name that you now know really what your image is in Christ. Man, you are seated in heavenly places in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Father, love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for just everything you're doing in the lives of us believers. That we're finding out who we are in Christ. And we're going to continue to keep learning and keep being reminded of your word. You said to remind you of your word. So we're going to continue to remind us that we're worthy. Away from Christ, we're not. We're not worthy. But everything that Jesus Christ did for us made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Father, thank you for that. Thank you. I just declare in Jesus' name, if there's one person here that has a self-esteem problem in any area that we've mentioned or that we didn't, that you be set free right now in Jesus' name. With no one looking around, every head bowed real fast. If that's you and you've just been dealing, no one's going to know what kind of problem you've been dealing with about yourself. But all I want you to do is know you're set free. But if that's you, I want to add my agreement and just pray for you. I don't want you to come down. I just want you right where you're standing or right where you're sitting, just real fast, if that's you, to stand up and let's be in agreement together. Go ahead. Just stand up. There's some area you've just been dealing with and you just would need some agreement that you're delivered from that esteem problem, that self-image problem. If that's you, I want you to stand up and let us pray for you right now. And no one really will know what's going on in your life, but God will. And let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, get up. If that's you, don't be afraid. Because fear is a part of that self-image that you don't want. So stand up and say, no, this is one area that I've struggled in about myself. And it doesn't have to be looks. It might just be fears in some areas that have caused you not to commit. If that's you, stand up. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Maybe you've been believing God for some things and your confidence is down. If that's you, you just want some agreement, stand up. Let's pray over it. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're going through a tough time and you're battling some things. You're battling the enemy. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's in your health, your finances. I don't care. If that's you, get up and let's believe God. Right now. Come on. Even if you know someone stand in their place. Stand up just on their behalf, and let's pray for them. You'll be the point of contact. What else, sir? What else? If you're dealing with depression, suicidal thoughts, anxiety, I'm seeing just people that are having issues with blood pressure. If that's you, get up. In Jesus' name. What else, sir? Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody that's standing, I want you to put your hand over your heart. Stick your hand over your heart. The reason I do this is if you ever get the word of God from your head to your heart, oh man, that's where victory is. That's where faith is, man. Get it down there where you walk in faith. Not by sight, not by anything other than pure faith. And let me pray for every single one of you. Father, you know what's going on in the lives of these people. You know their dreams, their desires, you know their thoughts. I declare in Jesus' name that whatever the need is, you meet it. Whatever is holding them in bondage about themselves, I thank you, Lord, it's broken now in Jesus' name. If that's you, just begin to say, I agree. If it's a health issue, a marriage problem, thoughts of suicide or depression of any kind, we break that in Jesus' mighty name. Whatever it is, sir, that they're standing for, I thank you, Lord, that that prayer is answered. They're set free to the glory of you in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that I declare victory in their lives. We refuse to be the victim. Say that with me, everybody. Say, I refuse to be the victim. I am the victor in Jesus' name. Now, y'all that are standing, say amen. Because that is yes and amen. Amen? All right, now sit down just real fast. If there's anybody here that has never given their life to Jesus, I want you to do it right now. If you don't know what would happen to you if you die, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to choose heaven by receiving Jesus as Lord. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to ask you to invite Jesus Christ. I'll pray Romans 10:9. And I want you to pray it as well and ask Jesus to come in. But all the rest of us that are born again, we're going to pray it with you right now. You ready? If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to receive Jesus right now and give him your life. You ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Would y'all all pray it? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for being my friend, for being my Lord, for being my Savior, for being my healer, for being my protector. Thank you, Jesus. I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you raise your head, if you just gave your life to Jesus for the very first time and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, and you just said, Jesus, come into my life, and you never had, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough where you're sitting to raise your hand up and say, God, I just prayed that prayer and I meant it, and then just put your hand right back down. You're saying, Jesus, thank you for coming into my life. If that was you, when I say three, I want you to put your hand up and then just put your hand right back down. Are you ready? With every bit of boldness, one, two, three, go. Thank you. Anybody else? Thanks. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you. Anybody, don't be afraid. If you just gave your life to Jesus, by raising your hand, you're saying, God, I'm not ashamed. Thank you. And then just put your hand right back down. Is there anybody else? Get it up, put it right back down. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God that we have a self-image of ourselves, and the one that just got saved deserves a round of applause. Amen? Now, I want you to know that it's an honor. Thanks, brother. It's an honor to be able to preach and teach this word of God. It's an honor to be your pastor. And I mean that. God, it's incredible that God would call me. And but I appreciate it that he did. Amen? Because if he didn't call me, he'd call someone. And it's an honor to be able to serve you guys. But it's also an honor to do different things outside of this church, like the Alliance for Life. That Roger, raise your hand. Roger's going to be going.